hello and welcome to From the Rookery End. But we're not at the Rookery End, we're at the League Two Stadium. Oh, I went there. Yeah, well, hello, we are at the Kieran's here. Kieran, what's the Women's Premier Division playoff?
It's the FA Women's National League playoff. Yeah, FA Women's National League playoff. So it's for the third tier going into the second tier, the Women's Championship.
It is, and it's been Watford and Nottingham Forest. My name's John, as you've already heard, Kieran. Geordie's here.
Hello.
We've made our trip up here in the car. It's a bright, sunny day in what is an impressive stadium. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but I jest about League Two. But it's a nice stadium.
Well, yeah, I mean, it hosted one of the semi-finals for the Women's Euros last year, which was actually the last time I was here. So last time I was here was Germany v France. And, it's a good stadium for women's football. I know that having worked at the FA for a little while and obviously covered the women's game, I've actually been here a few times for women's football. So it's definitely somewhere that's used to hosting games such as this.
Of course, Geordie, we were doing a little, as we like to do, a football car on an away trip. We want to try and figure out how many times have Watford played here? How many times have Watford played here, Geordie? The men's team.
Well,
two friendlies, but yeah. Have we ever played competitively?
They played one competitive game, which was against our friends from Tottenham in the cup. It was in the cup, wasn't it? So hopefully the ladies or the women's team can get a better result than the men's team.
Well, yeah. So it was the season or two, whatever it was, that Spurs weren't at White Hart Lane. We looked at the team, Kieran, unchanged since the game they played at Billericay, which they won very convincingly, very positively, 3-0. We spoke to to Damon and we spoke to the girls this week. They're in a good place, and continuation is always important, isn't it?
Momentum, and that was a word that we asked them about, and that was something that they said they wanted to bring into this fixture. You know, why change a winning team? Obviously, prior to that Billericay game, they had that big win at home over Oxford as well. So, you know, they come into this game in decent form. They'll come on the high of winning the Southern Premier on the last day of the season. So, you know, we obviously spoke to Helen Ward. Helen will probably play a role off of the bench. But as she said in the week, she will no doubt be in that changing room, being one of the senior figures, trying to rally those players. But why change it when they've had a couple of good results on the bounce? So, not surprised by that.
And would you say that's the bench that we've got? You know, Flo's also on the bench we spoke to in the week with Helen. That seems to be quite a positive bench that can make good changes.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, we've got to remember that Watford played Forest in the League Cup at this level not very long ago, and they obviously lost that fixture. So they'll need game changes. This will be a tight one, I anticipate. I mean, we've said in the past, haven't we, the games can be close and then one team runs away with it. But I think what's really key is that you now know that, looking at the lineup and looking at the bench, they have options if Watford find themselves behind or if they need a goal. They've got those players they can bring on to try and help with that.
Well, we will see how things go and what pans out here at Stadium MK. Geordie, is there anything particular you're looking out for in this final? Or actually, after the season we've had watching the men's team, is there something you particularly want to see that isn't just the win?
Well, I'd love to see a Watford team put 90 minutes of a cohesive football together, either. And the men's team either went behind or started slowly under Bilic and then did okay in the second half, or under Wilder was the opposite. So I'd be interested to see the women. It's my first time at one of the Watford women's matches. So I'd be interested to see what's different. How different is it? Because it will be different to men's football in the same way that we've spent a year watching the Championship, and we can tell you that's very different to the Premier League. So it'd be interesting to see how the women get on with it, how they embrace the occasion, because you're right, it's a big stadium. It's not a huge crowd relative to the side of the stadium, but it is quite high pressure. It's a chance to win something, to make all the whole season worth it. And we've been watching the men's playoffs, and you can kind of see that there is a huge amount of investment in there, and it's been nice watching the playoffs without having an involvement, because you've been able to enjoy them. And this one, where we've got something to play for, the men haven't really given us something to play for since the cup final, really, or towards the end of the season we got relegated. So this is now somewhere we can be in a stadium with Watford fans hoping that Watford win. I think it's a nice experience where we can we all get behind a team, and I'd be interested to see what the experience is like, what the team's like. And I think personally, like Kieran, you talked to Kieran about Helen Ward being on the bench. You know, growing up with Watford, there's like Cliff Holton and Duncan Wellborn, and even like depending on when you started, like players like Ross Jenkins, I never saw play for Watford, and Helen Ward's one. You know, as you see the women's team grow. In 20 years' time, if the women's team is on a par with the men's team, or, you know, is this big? She'll be one of the names that's mentioned as having to play a huge role in the development. So it'd be nice to see her. I see her sometimes sat in the rookery, so it'd be nice to see her on the pitch, and, you know, hopefully she can get a goal and see the Hornets up.
Well, we'll see it happen. The flags are being waved. The arch for the entrance is there. I can see the players lining up. And this game is very, very close. Come on, you ones! Seventeen minutes gone, and Watford take their 1-0 lead here at Stadium MK. Geordie, what do you think of it so far?
I think Watford have been the best team, to be honest. There's some nice touches. It's a nice vantage point we've got. It's quite low, and you can see you're close enough to the action to be able to see the spaces and the angles. But Watford certainly, I think, deserve to be ahead. It's a lovely cross and a header, and a great header into the back of the court, back of the goal, so back of the net. So a deserved lead, and just under 20 minutes gone. Let's see if we can hold on to the lead, which isn't a very Watfordy thing to do this season for the men. So let's see if the women have mastered holding on to a lead.
The game continued. No. Forest. Well, clearing the lines. So, yeah, it's just coming. 20 minutes gone so far. The Hornets are in the lead, on their way up. Half time at Stadium MK. Watford still in the lead, 1-0. Kieran, where are you at mentally in terms of where you think that Watford performance is going?
Well, I think that the problem I've got is that my mentality is often attributed to what I see with the men's team, so I take absolutely nothing for granted. Good that we're winning. I thought we were the better team up until we scored the goal, and then I thought Forrest had probably the better of it for the last 15 minutes. I think Jackie Goldsmith in goal for Watford has made a few decent saves. She's come off her line quickly to smother a few balls that, if she'd been a bit slower, the Forest strike force would have probably got there. But look, we're winning, and games like this, it's always going to be tense. But I absolutely take nothing for granted at the moment. It would be nice to get another one. I feel a little bit unsettled at 1-0, but, you know, we got the goal, and that's the point. I'd rather be 1-0 up at half time than 1-0 down, let's put it that way.
Yeah, Jason, who stood out for you?
I think Gemma Davidson for me. I think she looks so... In fact, I'm going to say, I think the entire team look really calm and comfortable on the ball. They look confident when they got the ball. No one looks frightened of the ball. But Gemma in particular for me, I think, was it her to put the cross in? Yes, for the goal? Was. It was a brilliant cross. I mean, I don't know if anyone watched Barnsley v Bolton playoff semi-final last night. It was almost a carbon copy of that goal. Brilliant cross into the back post and a well-taken header. She's the one that stood out, but I think we have to give credit to the rest of the team, because I think they've all looked calm and confident and not panicked, and yet they've had to weather some Forest pressure. Forest have got some good players. Their number seven looks dangerous. I'm a little bit nervous where we seem to be left with two on two at the back a lot of the time, and I think that's given me palpitations seeing that. But again, the girls at the back have done brilliantly when Forest have got the upper hand in those duels. They've then gone back and defended really well and stopped those good chances. And like you say, when they have managed to get shots away, the goalkeeping performance has been excellent as well.
What do you reckon Damo's saying at half time there, Kieran?
I think Geordie and I were talking, they probably need to press a little bit better together. I think Forest are probably getting through the lines a little bit too easy. Forest clearly seem to see, I don't know whether people agree or not, I think Forest seem to see some form of weakness down our left side. There's a lot of play down our left side, their right side.
Do you think that's because they see it as a weakness for us, or do they perhaps it's a strength for them? But I said, no, they're number seven.
Exactly that. And it would be a case of me not knowing enough about the Forest team to comment on that. But that is a very good point. It could well be that they're trying to play to their strengths. But look, I think very much same again. I'm with Jace. I feel a little bit nervous when we leave ourselves 2v2. You know, eventually you'd think that might not work and leave us a little bit exposed. But I think, you know, I think if they can get Bianca Baptiste in behind, they've tried it a few times, they haven't been as successful as maybe they would like, there's opportunities. I think where we seem to have a lot of threat is when we get crosses into the box. There have been a couple of second balls that we've been able to latch onto. So look, he'll say same again, but I think press a little bit better as a team and try and get the ball in the box a bit quicker.
Well, let's see what the half-time talk changes, if anything, here at Stadium NK. 45 minutes to go. Will the Golden Girls get promotion?
From the Rookery End, a podcast about life following Watford FC.
Geordie, 20 minutes in to second half. Watford had to have the ball in the back of the net again. How are you feeling about the game?
We started the second half, we're 20 minutes into it, we've been the best team again. It's hard to keep track of the score because we had a goal disallowed and the scoreboard has shown minus 14 to minus 3 at points, different points, as they're trying to get it reset. We need to take these chances because we saw in the first half we started strongest and Forest came back in the second half of the first half, and what we don't want is to not take advantage of this dominance and then get pegged back and have a nervous last 10 minutes or so. So there's about 25 minutes left. The Forest player down, we've made our first change, but certainly looking the better of the two teams so far, but need to make sure that translates into a goal or two.
The celebrations continue as Watford women have won promotion. Kieran, we spoke at half time, a close game. Watford need to press themselves a bit more. Did you see a better Watford side, a better Forest side?
I think they did press fair in the second half. I think what we saw were two teams who knew what was at stake at the end of the 90 minutes, because I didn't think it was a second half with loads of chances or loads of quality, but you saw two teams give absolutely everything, and we got the goal in the first half, and that in the end was all that we needed. Just delighted for the players. You know, we talked about it in the week. This was a team that was relegated in the 97th minute of the last game of the season last year, and what unbelievable character to come back from that and not just win their league, but then to win a playoff that sees them promoted.
But there was a moment though, Kieran, right at the death. There was a penalty, a free kick for Nottingham Forest in pretty much the same place, wasn't it? Yeah. How were you then?
I turned to Geordie, I got flashbacks of Molly Green from last season, because it was an almost identical position from the goal that sent Watford down last year, free kick about 30 yards out. Needlessly conceded as well. The goalkeeper's come about 15 yards outside the box and clattered the Forest player. I mean, in the end, it was probably the right thing to do, because God knows what would have happened if she'd got through. But thankfully, Molly Green wasn't standing over this one, and the free kick sailed high and wide. But nervous for those few seconds that it took before the free kick was taken.
Yeah. Jason, what were your thoughts on the second half?
I thought we were better second half, and I didn't think that Forest were quite as good. I thought it was we were the ones. I'm not sure we're creating the better opportunities, but we certainly looked like we could. We were getting into better positions. Still didn't mean that I wasn't nervous come the end. I'm a bit hot, I'm a bit sweaty, it's warm out there. And I think, yeah, part of that was down to nerves. And it's a good nervous feeling. I was thinking, I didn't feel this nervous at all during the season at Vicarage Road watching the men play. Maybe perhaps before the Luton game, or for the first 2 minutes of the Luton game until we scored. Other than that, yeah, it's good to have that feeling. The fact that you're so close to winning something, and when you eventually do it, we were pretty much in control, I thought, second half. You expect close game, the team that's losing, to sort of really put the pressure on, maybe to have a flurry of chances. You always said there's that one big chance at the end that a team will get. And yeah, there was that free kick, but they really didn't do anything from it. And that's what we really restricted them to. They had set pieces, didn't do much from them, and we defended pretty comfortably. And we probably, with a maybe a one or two better placed passes, we might have been the ones that created the better chances.
Yeah.
So I think overall, in the end, I think we just about edged it. Two very good teams. I think it's fair to say they probably are the two best teams at this level. They put on a great display today, and Watford have come out, I think, deservedly just on top.
Jordy, who were the stars for you in the game?
I mentioned Helen Ward before, but I didn't get to see her, so there we go. My cunning plan to finally see her didn't come off. So I didn't really know any of the players. And I was saying to Kieran throughout the game that Georgiou in midfield, you don't want to compare the men and the women's team, but for me, it's like watching Kapu again, basically. The way she... You hear things about women's football, that the anticipation isn't as good, that the fitness, because they're not training every day and so forth, but really good players at any level. If anyone's ever played with a retired footballer, you can see that even in their 50s, they can see things you can't see. And you can see that she just had a composure, she could get stuck in, she could turn it around. So I think, in a 1-0 game, when it's high stakes, you need someone who can direct, who can release the pressure, who can drive people forward. And she got woman of the match, or player of the match. Fully deserved. I mean, it was a really good performance. I think, the defence didn't concede, so you have to give them credit. The goal, again, when you're used to watching men's football, you hear it's, oh, the women, the goalkeepers aren't very good, or they can't do this, or there'd be a mistake. But it was a goal that would have been fit to win any game of football. Really good move down the left, cut back onto the right foot. Fantastic cross. I think the men could probably watch that, because it was a cross that didn't hit any defenders, over the top, right on the striker's head and in the back of the net. So it was a goal that deserved to win the game. I think there was a good, you could see a good team effort there. They passed the ball around, they moved it well. I think, if you're going to be critical, sometimes you felt that they left the striker isolated, but that then meant that Forrest had to get through 10 other outfield players because she was up there on her own, and she did a good job, scored the goal. But I think Georgiou in midfield was the one that really stood out for me.
Defensively though, Jace, clean sheet, those players at the back there, do they all stand out?
I think so, yeah. I wouldn't say one player stood out. As I said at half time, I was worried about the two on twos that we were leaving. I think we played a bit safer. I think second half it looked like there were sort of three hanging back when we attacked, when I noticed it anyway, and trying to keep them sort of at bay. And like I said, I think we did. I think they didn't create any chance of note. I don't think Jack had a save to make in the second half that I can remember. And yeah, you have to keep credit to the defence for that. But also the midfielders as well. I think we talked about, Georgie talked about Georgie there, where I think there was one tackle that she made sort of midway through the second half. Outstanding tackle. And you say when you defend as a team, as a unit like that, then yeah, you have to credit them all for that defensive performance.
Kieran, just to sum up this what this means, I suppose. We know that promotion's good. You go up to another division, followers of the men's team, that you go up to the Premier League, you go up a division, it changes quite dramatically, and lots of things have to change. What do you think this means in terms of what they're going to face next year?
Some good sides in that Championship. And as we discussed in the week, it changes next year, where there will be two relegation spots, because I have to say I feel a bit sorry for Forest, because it's come a season too early for them, because from next season the winner of the Northern Premier and the Southern Premier will both go up. They will still play this playoff as far as I'm aware, but it will just be for the overall kind of trophy for the third tier. But it will be a challenge for Watford, and look, they went down last year, and that is a sign of how difficult it is. They will need to invest. They will need to bring in players who are used to that level. Bristol City have gone up from the Championship into the WSL. We're still waiting for the team that will come down. Whoever that team is will have players of WSL experience. Watford, other than Gemma Davison, don't really have that. Helen Ward is obviously retiring. She's the other one that would have had that. So they will need to build a squad that is capable of playing at that level, because there are some good sides in there. Southampton are a team that are ready, if I'm honest, they're ready for the WSL. They will be in the Championship next year. They didn't quite have enough to get up. As I say, there'll be a team coming down from the WSL who will be fighting for promotion almost from the off. Crystal Palace invested a lot of into their squad in this last season. There are some good sides in that division, and Watford will have to build and invest in this squad if they want to try and be able to compete with that.
A lot, a bit, a tweak.
I don't think you need a lot in the championship, but they will. It's more numbers than money. I think, you know, it's getting players of that with that experience. So, you know, it's trying to find individuals that are. They will move obviously up in status as well. The tier three is amateur. Barclays Women's Championship is semi-professional, which means that there are is criteria that Watford need to meet as part of their license to play in that division. So as part of that, they will have to invest more. They will have to have certain resources that they don't have to have in tier three. So ultimately, you know, it's a natural kind of progression. There will be more invested because they have to do that to meet the license criteria. But in terms of the squad, yes, they will have to put. It's not just about money, it's about the resource and the numbers that they'll need.
Well, it is complete, and we shall see what happens next season with Watford Women. And we, of course, actually, next year's podcast, we're gonna follow them a lot closer and hopefully give you more coverage of Watford Women, a Watford team that was successful this year. Thank you much, Kieran.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jordy.
Thank you.
And big thank you to Damon and all the Watford Women. Come on, you all!
We are going up.